Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, filling in for Chinay Agwimike today, kind enough to join us. Our neighbor to the north, co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio from 7 to 9 Eastern every Monday through Friday. And you really haven't let this washcloth thing go after an hour, have you?
I keep hearing it's cultural. It's not cultural. Like, you're just nasty. I'm going to have a long conversation with your dad.
That's still, again, it's not the worst offense that I ever had as far as the failings of parenting there. You know, I didn't understand. When I was in college, I went to mail my mom a Mother's Day card. And I went to the post office on Notre Dame's campus. We're going to talk to Chris Chelios in a second here about the NHL postseason here. I promise there's a payoff to this, but Fitz was talking about my upbringing relative to my lack of washcloth. And so I went to mail my mom a Mother's Day card when I first got to college. And I went to the post office on campus at Notre Dame, made a big wall full of stamps. And I looked at the wall and how much the stamps cost. And I looked and said, oh, there's these stamps that only cost 1 cent. Bet. And I bought a 1 cent stamp. I put it on there and I sent the letter to my mom. And so my mom got her Mother's Day card and then was asked to pay the balance of postage that was owed on that mailing.
That is spectacular awareness by you. And like, you call me cheap all the time, but like, it's not like
you
couldn't afford the 29 cents.
These suckers were paying so much money for stamps.
Man. Oh, that is, you know, if there were 1 cent stamps, I'd still own a bunch of them. That's all I'm saying. If you could actually get it done that way, that'd be the only way I'd do it.
Someone who doesn't have to worry about 1 cent stamps, Chris Chelios, Hockey Hall of Famer, three-time Stanley Cup champion, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline right now. And Chris, I'm sure that you never had any issues sending letters with 1 cent stamps, right?
Not that old. Not a chance.
Well, you know what, Chris, now that you don't have to worry about that here and instead get to be part of our hockey coverage here at ESPN, very excited. We had the big announcement and the press releases yesterday. Very excited to have the NHL back on ESPN, back on ABC, back on Hulu. We've got a lot of excited people here, Chris, and it's perfect timing because we are in the middle of the Stanley Cup final. We are one game in right now. So as we're breaking this down, Chris, a team that you got some familiarity with, how the Habs managed to make it this far here? What's been the secret to this run for the Canadians?
I mean, I'm not going to put it all on Carey Price. Obviously, he's one of the best goaltenders ever and continues to be successful. He's a big part of it, but you know, they added that Caulfield to kind of spark their offense. And like anything in the playoffs, you get some momentum. You know, they beat Toronto there with the absence of Tavares with that hit. And, you know, and that's what happens in the playoffs. You get a little bit of momentum. You start getting timely goals, timely saves. And the Canadians, you know, feeding off of that. And it's been great to watch, obviously, being in my first team with the Habs. And, you know, it's going to be a good series. That 5-1 game, it's not really an indication of, you know, what the score could have been. It was a 2-1 game going into the third, but good for them. It's great to see them, you know, finally a Canadian team going deep in the playoffs.
You know, Chris, you make the point. It was a one goal game going into the third. It was a close game. Is there more pressure on Montreal in this series because of everything that's at stake for Canadian hockey fans?
I mean, they're a team that was never expected to get where they are, but now the pressure in Montreal, having fans back in the building, and it seems like they fed off it, obviously, and it's given them a little bit of life. And but I mean, when you get to the finals, you know, you're just thinking one thing, game by game. Yeah, it's a first game loss, but you know, they win that next game, they go home, you know, tied, and then all of a sudden they're going to feel that they're in the driver's seat. So, you know, Tampa's a strong team, tough team. Without injuries, it's you know, they're going to be the tough to beat. That's all I'll say.
Janae Angola Jr. talking at Hockey Hall of Famer Chris Chelios on the Goodyear Hotline as we look at the Stanley Cup Final. And you mentioned Price and net, obviously goaltending a huge part, but you said not the whole part there. That being said, if you got one game to win in this series right now, we got a couple of great goaltenders. One game to win, are you going Price or Vasilevskiy at this point?
I mean, I got to go with Vasilevskiy only because of what he accomplished last year. He's MVP, I believe. But again, Price gives you a chance to win every game. And Tampa's had some off games, you know, during the course of this playoffs. So I expect Montreal, you know, to throw everything at them this next game. Still, none of the pressure's on them as far as I'm concerned. You know, they steal one game. That's their mindset. Steal one game, go back, you know, home. And again, Price is going to have to come up with a great game. You know, that Tampa Bay's got so much offense, and they're a great team.
Chris, a lot of people were reacting on social media to Brendan Gallagher's just absolutely gruesome blood flowing down after the head hit. What was your reaction? Obviously, lifelong tough guy. You're around hockey forever. Just a normal play, or did you have any problems with any of it?
I don't think so. I mean, you got to have short memory. That's the way I felt. And he's a tough kid. And I don't think there's going to be anything carrying over into the next game.
All right, well, we're excited to make sure that doesn't carry over there, even though it's a great visual on the ice there. Glad everyone's okay here. I mean, but we can't, we got to call it like it is here. Now, Chris, we mentioned at the beginning of this the press release we saw yesterday, hockey back on ESPN. How excited are you to be part of coverage here, bringing hockey, bringing the NHL back on ESPN the way we've missed?
I mean, it's awesome. When I started in the 90s, I associated with hockey on ESPN, and I always said it, and it's anything sports, it's always ESPN. So my experience with them, me and Brett Hull did the World Cup a few years back, and it was the greatest experience. I enjoyed it. The staff, the producers, everybody was so good to us and basically carried us. And it was, like I said, great experience. I'm looking forward to working with Mark Messier and the rest of the crew. And it's been a while. I needed something to ground me. I was getting a little bored. I didn't like the grind of coaching, just too much travel, but I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And like I said, work with Mess. We'll tell it like it is and be ourselves, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
I got to ask you, I know we're looking at the Stanley Cup final, but for everybody that's just getting back into hockey with ESPN, obviously Seattle gets the Kraken. Vegas had a lot of success quickly as an expansion team. When you look at the expansion process for the NHL, have they changed it enough in the process in your mind that Seattle can come in but maybe not have some of the advantages Vegas had?
I mean, absolutely. I'm really glad. You don't want to see an expansion team come in and start from scratch and fall flat in their face. And I mean, what Vegas did was amazing and still continue to be a very competitive team. And credit that to their scouts and their staff. They picked the right guys. And then, unfortunately, other teams lost some great players, but you basically got a team full of, second liners. And, hopefully Seattle does the same and they're competitive right off the start. And it'd be great for that city.
It's going to be awesome. What a great sports town. Obviously, a place that's been crying out to continue to get more and more teams back in that area. So the NHL going to be a great, great boost for a great town in that. Now, Chris, they're fortunate. They've got a lot to look forward to there. We got some folks on our staff here who had teams. I'm not going to name names that were knocked out in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So I understand that you've got a tequila that might be able to help ease their pain in this process. What can you tell me about that?
Well, thanks for bringing it up. Yeah, we're at a trade show. We're about to launch our tequila called El Bandito Tequila. Just some local Illinois guys, and I figured I've been drinking for so long, I might as well have my own and have some fun with it. We've got a great staff. Our first, trade show was in Vegas here, and that's what you're hearing, all that noise right now. I'm kind of having a tough time hearing you. But, again, we're with a great group of people, very generous people. It's not so much about the money as it is just having fun and launching this thing and building a brand.
As a longtime drinker of tequila, I can assure you it is definitely fun. So you guys are going to be able to tap in to all of that there. Chris, we appreciate the time, man. Great luck with the trade show. We're looking forward to you being a part of the team here at ESPN, and we'll talk to you soon, all right? Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. All the best.
Jason, do you feel bad at all when, we're talking to Chris Chelios, this big, tough guy, former hockey player, and you go to say goodbye and you just get the voice crack of a lifetime?
Oh, no. I can't wait to hit puberty here. It's a blast.
Thanks for joining us, Mr. Chelios.
Hey, why don't you tell us about Toronto there, Matt? How'd it go this year?
Oh, wow. All right.
Hey, we got to go to break.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline. That's where Chris Chelios joined us here. Coming up next, Matt Lack is going to probably beat Jason Fitz up in the break here. But
that's going to be the worst fight in history, too.
It is really going to be bad. We're going to air that one on
Slap
ESPN
fight.
Plus right now. From the people who brought you every one of what are those YouTube boxer brother names? I'm ruining this
Paul's,
right now.
Yeah,
it's all going
just let
so
it die.
Poorly.
Just
right?
let it die.
You just got to let it go here.
Let it go. Let it go.
We're going to get to see if Chris Chelios will send us some of that tequila to make us all sound better here. But coming up next, we get to get to one of our favorite pastimes here because Vince Carter went down a path that we often do at sports as sports fans. Our favorite hypothetical situations right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, @JasonFitz, @MikeGolick Jr. We will give you ours and what Vince Carter wanted to get back into the world now, next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
As we sit here on NIL Eve, name, image, and likeness going into law tomorrow around the world of college athletics, it's already starting. And Jason, I can't wait to see more headlines like the ones that I get to read you here. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Jason Fitz want to get to a nice spicy take and some fun sports hypotheticals from Vince Carter, who was dropping some bombs and just leaving them around here, pitting the 90s and now against each other like we always do. But Jason, this is incredible. As we've talked about, you know, college players being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness out and go out there and make a buck. This, now, for anyone that's not familiar, Jordan Bohannon is a three-point shooting phenom for the Iowa Hawkeyes basketball team. This from Boomin' Iowa Fireworks. The world's coolest fireworks store, Iowa Boomin', is excited to welcome the world's best three-point shooter, Jordan Bohannon, tomorrow, July 1st at 4:30. Come meet J-Bo, get his autograph, buy some fireworks, and get it into a raffle for signed memorabilia. Red, white, and Boomin'.
I mean, right before the 4th of July, the joy for watching somebody go get his. Like, and you know, the funny thing is, I had somebody years ago when I first started in this business say, you'll find that there are certain tenets, certain hills that you always die on, and people get to know that. You will always be very pro-athlete. As a former athlete, it's part of what I love about, like, you come at it from the, especially with these college kids, you're like, they are kids, fight for them. I love so much about it. For me, I'm always like Mr. Hey, collectively bargain. So I'm Mr. like, get the rules, follow the rules, and then make the most of the rules. So to see the rules change even in a non-collective bargaining way, and see a kid on the day they're changing, go in and be like, you know what, I'm going to make mine, I'm going to get mine today. Oh, it just gives me so much
See, and that's my favorite,
joy.
That's my favorite part about this is the more and more we're hearing is this is going to be like as soon as we hit July 1, it's not going to be team start. Like this is like the legal tampering period where all these deals are going to be in place and get announced tomorrow. And everyone that's been like, well, it's only going to be a few players getting money and they're not going to make that much money are probably going to be sitting at home tomorrow, kicking stuff around their house, hating as usual.
And so. I love the fact that we're not talking about like DJ Uiagalelei in that conversation. We're talking about a shooter on an Iowa basketball team. Like, a great shooter, but yeah. Still, it speaks to how far wide this is going to go.
Oh. It's absolutely incredible. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I want to play this. Vince Carter went down the familiar rabbit hole. Vince Carter, obviously, basketball legend here and someone who played in a different era than the one that we're dealing in now. And he brought up the idea of players in this era going back and struggling with the 90s. Not something altogether unfamiliar, but here was Vince talking about this earlier.
It's easier to adjust from getting beat up every time you dribble the ball in that era to this game. It's like, oh, wow, I get to play hands-free? You can't touch me? And it's a different game when you're now adjusting from, hey, wait a minute, ref, they can't touch me, to why is this guy able to guide me around the court at the point guard position a la Alvin Harper, you know, guys like that. Ron Harper, pick these guys who used to put their, Scottie Pippen, these guys put their hands on you and they used to push you around the court. So that's my question. Yes, there's some players who can adjust to it, but a lot of guys are so used to hands-free basketball to where like now it's like, wait a minute.
So there we go, Jason. We're back at it again. The 90s, a more physical brand of basketball here. The players now would have such a difficult time adjusting, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, sarah, sarah.
To which I'll say, as I always say, great athletes are capable of training their bodies to do what they need to do. So the presumption is that suddenly, you know, players of this era wouldn't change their training, conditioning, and their profiles to make sure that they're able to handle the game then, just like players from that era would change for speed training right now. Like there's so many different things that would be different, and you know this as an athlete, right? Like you would just change. I believe Kevin Durant would do what his body needs to be successful in any era.
Yeah, no. So, and this isn't like an argument. Like we've done this argument over and over again here. It's fun to bring up, and everyone feels some type of way. But the best part about it is it's the same hypothetical sports argument that drives this entire industry, right? I need an argument that I can never actually bear out with something provable here. It's as soon as you get to a college locker room, the number one argument argument that takes place in any college athletics locker room is whose high school team could have beat the other. Because you're never going to have to actually play that game here. And so I always go back, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What's the sports hypothetical that you hold on to? Because I contend that we've all got one. Like, Jason, for me, I will never look at Kansas State and not think, man, in 2012, if Colin Klein and those guys hadn't lost late in the season to an unranked Baylor team, we would have played them instead of Alabama in the 2012 national title game. And no offense to those guys, but we would beat y'all, and I'd be wearing a big fat national championship ring right now. And I can say that and rile up the K-State crowd, because I know we're never going to have to play that game against a team that had a Heisman Trophy hopeful playing quarterback for them, but it eats away at my being.
I love the fact that you're trying to find a way to get that ring on a technicality, basically. Like, you're coming in saying, look, we were never going to beat that team, but we could have beaten that.
Like, those morons that say to be the best, you got to beat the best are wrong. You got to beat who's there in the game, and you just hope the best isn't there.
Ric Flair is just like shuddering right now. Okay, so I've got a couple things here on this. Number one, from a fan standpoint, my conference is better than your conference in college football when most of those teams don't play each other. Like, that is such a my dad can beat up your dad hypothetical we never see. But from my fandom point, I'll go to, of course, my beloved Raiders, because we all know that if the technicality known as the Tuck rule hadn't existed, it had been called a fumble, as it rightfully should have been, the Raiders would have beaten the Patriots, which would have catapulted them. The only team that could have beat them maybe then was New England in New England. Would have catapulted them. They obviously would have won the Super Bowl, at which point Gruden doesn't leave as coach. Everybody runs it back for the next couple of years with an incredibly talented team. Gruden doesn't beat him in Tampa. The Raiders get not one, but two, at least two Super Bowls in my adult lifetime, which would be such a change to my joy.
I was going to say, Jay, I can't imagine how fundamentally different a person you would be if your lifetime had included a Super Bowl, let alone many Super Bowls, which would necessitate the uses of a Super Bowl.
Would I have even needed anger management at one point? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, God, it'd be so good.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What's the sports hypothetical that you hold on, the game that went awry that could have changed everything? Let's go to Scott in Indiana. Scott, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. What's yours?
The Ron Artest-led Indiana Pacers would have won the NBA championship if Ron Artest had kept his head and not attacked a fan in Detroit.
Yeah, no, I say the Malice in the Palace situation.
That's I like that. I like that take.
Is Malice in the Palace more important to a franchise's history than just one championship? Like, everybody wins championships. There was only one Malice in the Palace.
Oh, no. You would always take him. You can't buy shirts that say Malice in the... Well, you can,
say,
actually.
There's got to be... At Mike Golic Jr., at Jason Fitz, someone's got to have a Malice in the Palace shirt.
Oh, I got that. I feel like we're hunting down the gear now. It has to exist.
All right. We're going to get one more in here. Let's go to Brian in California. Brian, what's your sports hypothetical?
All right. I got a good one for you guys. Diehard Dodger fan, what if Houston didn't have trash cans in their stadium during that World Series?
Stay woke right there.
I mean,
stay woke. All of a sudden, you just can't throw garbage away.
I mean, you're not wrong. Does it change that a little bit, though? Like, knowing that the Dodgers did eventually get their World Series? Like, maybe that I don't know what a Super Bowl
Jason,
looks like,
you
Mike.
Don't
I have
a
no
Super
idea.
Bowl, and you were already angling for more than one. So, yes, it changes
well,
things.
Well, when you've never it's like the hibbity-dibbity. When you've never had it, you just...
Oh. You know what? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. The sports hypothetical that you as a fan hold on to get us away from Jason talking about whatever he does horizontally. Because no one wants to hear that. Coming up next, though, we will get to what we've got coming up this NFL season right now, because there is one team that signed a quarterback to a rich contract extension this offseason that comes back with a lot of hope that one of our analysts thinks is misguided. We'll get to that next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, kind enough to fill in with us for today for Chinne Igwumike, who is out fulfilling her responsibilities to the Los Angeles Sporks. We also get you the WNBA All-Star rosters coming up in a little bit as well. Those were announced today. Get to celebrate some great names there. We're also 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, going to take more of your calls, because we talked Vince Carter is pitting today's basketball players against the 90s. Yet again, it's the great sports hypothetical that we rock around with in July so often here. And Jason and I got to talking about, I feel like every sports fan, every player has got a hypothetical that they hold on to that they argue to the death. Jason talked about the Tuck rule if it had not been implemented against his beloved Raiders. I just said if Kansas State had won one game against a bad Baylor team in 2012, I probably have a national championship ring right now. Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline right now. Dan, we got plenty to get into with you, but do you have one of those, like a hypothetical from your sports career at all, that if you could go back and change one thing that you think could catapult you to a different sphere, you would do?
Dude, it's June 30th, and you're bringing me on your radio station asking me that question? I thought we were friends. I thought we were, like, actually, like, good friends. And you're asking me if there's one moment in my career that I would love to go back and change, if it would alter something differently? Yeah, I think if anybody could say yes to that question, it's me.
So it was a play in Connecticut, right? Like, that's just something that happened at UConn? UConn moment? UConn?
Oh, both of you guys. No, it would probably be me. Like, I don't know if you guys type, you know, in a GIF star or GIFs, if you type in my name, it's me running out of the back of the end zone in a real game. So I would probably go and choose that one over some other maybe less notable moments, for sure. But super happy to be with you guys.
Yeah, no, like I say, we're starting this, off on the right foot here with Dan Orlovsky, our great ESPN NFL analyst, longtime NFL quarterback, and dear friend here, which is the only reason I can say any of these things.
Ex-dear friend.
I was going to say, we'll see how much longer that lasts right now. But Dan, let me get back in your good graces here with a question then, because I've seen you making the rounds. You're on SportsCenter. You're on NFL Live today. And I've seen a lot of people talking about the Cowboys and what to expect this upcoming season, and so many people high on them getting Dak Prescott not only back from injury but back paid well and happy here, but you still have doubts about what this team can accomplish this season.
Well, because I'm the only one who keeps it real. Like, everyone thinks, oh, Dak's back, so this team's a Super Bowl contender. What? Like, this is where I get so lost with, you know, so many people that, like, we look at the Cowboys through, like, improperly colored glasses. You know, like, in the last three seasons, Mike, and this is not my feelings. These are straight stats. In the last 3 years, the Cowboys, with Dak Prescott as their starting quarterback, are 5-13 versus playoff teams. 5-13. He's accounted for 29 touchdowns and 24 interceptions. That's a little above average. They've scored 20 points per game. So, like, what makes anybody think that all of a sudden this is going to be a completely different football team than it has been the last 3 years? Because what I know about the Cowboys in the last 48 games is they don't beat good football teams. And I don't think giving 140 clams to Dak Prescott changes any of that, okay? Really good skill position groups. They got to rely on an offensive line that may be healthy, may not, and it's not as good as it used to be, and a really bad defense. So, like, I just expect reality from the Cowboys that they're going to be okay.
All right, Dan. So, I mean, with that being said, you mentioned the amount of clams that he's getting. The quarterbacks are always sort of associated with the contracts that they get. I don't even want to ask you necessarily whether or not the Browns should extend Baker. I want to go deeper than that. If you ran an NFL franchise, how much would you need to see from a quarterback to decide whether or not that quarterback was worth mega money?
3+ years. I'd have to see 3 years of empirical data, both numbers and performance, for me to say yes. And I think that we, and I've started this offseason about in March, is we as a football community need to talk about quarterbacks differently, because we always throw us around the term elite, all right? I think I made up these four tiers of quarterbacks with Hembo. One, a quarterback you win because of. There's not that many people on the planet that fit into that category. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Two, quarterbacks you win with. Really good players. I think Baker Mayfield is certainly that player. I think Matt Ryan has been that player. Quarterbacks that you win a ton of games with. Number three, quarterbacks you win in spite of. There's plenty of quarterbacks in the NFL that win games on that team in spite of his performance. And then four is quarterbacks you can't win with. And so it all comes down to organizationally. Do we have a guy that we win because of? Because, hey, these guys are out and we still won, or he elevated our football team, or we had to score 40 points to win our last four games and he did, then yeah, we're going to pay that guy. That's Patrick. And then there's quarterbacks, okay, can we win a lot of games with these guys? And then becomes organizationally,
Do we want that guy? Are we comfortable with that? And then at what value are we comfortable paying him?
So if you have a quarterback that's in tier two on your rankings, do you pay that quarterback franchise money rather than dip back in and take the risk that you'll get somebody that's in a lower tier?
Yeah, again, this is a question that's layered. My hesitation is to say I don't pay him franchise-changing money. Now, you feel better paying them franchise money if you're good as a front office and general manager. If you're really good at drafting, if you're really good at talent evaluation, because you obviously get less swings when you pay that much money in the draft and/or free agency at other players. But if you're very like a Veach in Kansas City, like Veach is very good at finding talent. So you feel better about paying Patrick Mahomes outside of him as a player just because you're so good as a front office in finding pieces.
It's going to be fascinating to see, Dan. I want to spend a lot of time with you coming up here as we go along the summer, talking more about these different levels, these different tiers of quarterbacks. But I'd ask you this before we let you go. As you started to study quarterbacks heading up to the season, I know you're always grinding these guys here. Is there one player in particular that you think has the best chance to move from one of those phases to another? It could be 3-2, could be 2-1. Is there a quarterback you really think has a chance to move this upcoming season as you look right now?
Yeah, I think it's Sam Darnold. I really do in Carolina. I think Carolina's a potentially surprising team. I mean, Carolina goes five deep at the skill position. You know, Terrace Marshall Jr. and his health from LSU is going to be a huge part. But Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore are really good receivers. McCaffrey back. And then I honestly think, and I'm not saying this, I think Tommy Tremble is going to be a good pro at that position. And so those pieces, a really good offensive coordinator, an improving offensive line. Like, I think Sam Darnold's got the chance to be like, oh, that's the player that you should have been, but the Jets failed you.
Can't wait to look at it. It's like we said, we got a lot of time to digest all this, but Sam Darnold is definitely going to be one of the big names heading into the season that everyone is excited to see. Can a change of scenery change a whole lot about his career trajectory? Dan, we appreciate your time today. I'm sorry we started off on a sour note. I love you. You're great. We'll talk to you soon. Okay,
thanks, brother.
Yeah, I hate you both.
Check him out on NFL Live. Check him out on SportsCenter. Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, always doing a great job, even if we, you know, tend to dig up some dark memories. But we did that for a purpose. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. That was Dan's sports hypothetical that he would like to go back and change. Jason and I have given you ours. We want to hear your number one sports hypothetical that you hold on to could have changed everything for you or your team. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Till we find our way, Jason. Oh, God. On the path unwinding. Come on, Jason. Come on with me.
It's the circle. It's the circle of life.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN
Nobody
Radio.
Has any idea what that
ESPN
is going
Plus.
On.
Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz here today. Sometimes I don't have an explanation for why our entire show staff in the middle of the last break decided that there would be nothing funnier than Billy, our producer, holding me up like baby Simba on the edge of Pride Rock as we all sang The Circle of Life. Shout out to Disney, though, man. Mickey, great boss. Awesome stuff. The park passes, baby.
Oh, check it out on Disney Plus. All Disney movies are available
it's
right
great.
There.
The new episode of Loki dropped this morning. I was having a great time today here. Almost as good as when we just sang The Circle of Night for no reason on a sports talk radio program.
Oh, my God.
I just love to think that somewhere some guy is like, I can't believe they pay them to talk about this on the air. Speaking of someone somewhere.
I'm doing this thing wrong. I thought I had to pay dues.
Oh man. He said, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven as we try and collect ourselves here.
All right, so let's go to the calls.
There comes a point in every show with Jason Fitz where you hit the laugh button on him, and he's useless for the rest of the segment.
I got this. I'm going to be a professional.
All right, Jason, we need you here because we've been asking people today. We've been talking about hypothetical situations, not where we sing a cartoon lion song, but the hypothetical sports situation that you hold on to as a fan. Vince Carter came out and gave us the take and said 90s players would have an easier time assimilating to the modern game than the other way. It's tried and true, but said everyone's got a sports hypothetical. hypothetical. Mine was, what if the 2012 Kansas Wildcats had just beaten a bad Baylor team and then could have played us in the national championship? I'd have a big fat ring. Jason wanted the Tuck rule to go bye-bye so the Raiders could win Super Bowls. We want to hear from you. 888-729-3776, 888-8-ESPN. Oh, we got Cliff here. Cliff, noted Philadelphia fan Cliff. I can only imagine where this goes.
Imagine if the number one overall pick in 2016, Ben Simmons, had a jump shot and shot the ball in the fourth quarter versus the Hawks in Game 7. Imagine that.
I don't even know if he needed to have a jump shot. Just dunk it.
Just dunk it.
Just dunk that
it.
One ball.
Just dunk it.
For that, too.
Just dunk it.
That's the kind of pain, though, that creates these moments. Let's try Ryan in Texas. Ryan, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. here. What's your sports hypothetical?
Hey, first I got to tell you, I'm on hold listening to the show. My iPad's down low, and just watching y'all laugh, it's hilarious. First of all, that was fantastic.
Thanks, Ryan.
But my hypothetical is, if the circle of life wasn't broken on March 28, 1994, and Jerry and Jimmy have a kumbaya moment instead of a see ya moment, how many Super Bowls do the Cowboys win if they stay together?
That's a great – I mean,
like a league-wide ripple effect that could have changed so much if Jerry's ego was not so large.
And at the time, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're like, yeah, it'll be fine. Like, all we do is win no matter what, right? And now it's like, I wish we had that combo back still.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
Put your hands up and they stay there and they stay there and they stay there. Let's go to Brian in Dallas. Yeah. Brian, you're at Chenea and Golic Jr. What's the sports hypothetical you've got?
For taking my call. So I'm not an athlete. I don't have a team. But I remember some of the old Saturday Night Live skits, especially the one with Da Bears. And there was an episode where they were asking the question, who would win, the 85 Bears or a team full of Mike Dickens? So I think that's one for the ages. We got to ask that question. Who would win?
It is important. A team full of – I got it. Man, a team full of Mike Dickens.
None of the Mike Dickens were chasing down, you know, Walter Payton, but I think McMahon would have been scared of all of them, so I go team full of
It's hard to Mike go against team full of Mike Dickens on that one here, so understand that. Lots of sweater vests, too, thrown in that. It's a great point by our producer, Ryan Matlack, so – at Chenea and at Mike Golic Jr. be who you tweet normally during this. Let's get one more in.
She'll be in it.
On Chenea and Golic Jr. Let's go to Marcus in Dallas. Oh, my God. It's three Dallas in a row. You're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What's your sports hypothetical?
Yep, I guess tell Dan back of the end zone Orlovsky to chalk up yet another Cowboys fan with colored glasses. But what if the call actually goes the right way? It should have. Dez caught it. Cowboys go on to win a Super Bowl, probably go back-to-back the next year. Romo never retires because he would be trying to get his third. Dez never leaves the team, and we wouldn't have 30-year-old Cowboys fans with mental disabilities sweating it, wondering, will we ever win one?
That is true. The mental health of Cowboys fans is something that I would say I worried about, but
I mean,
if
we're talking about sports hypotheticals, like Browns fans got to be saying, hold my beer. The number of times the Browns have been close and it's been like, we don't really want to go to the Super Bowl.
I guess that's the thing. Is like being a 30-year-old Cowboys fan and not experience that is like being a 30-year-old Notre Dame fan. No one's really going to lose sleep for you when you complain about not winning a national title in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I rarely get sympathy for that. 888-729-3776, 888-8-ESPN. We'll take more of your calls, the sports hypothetical that you hold nearest and dearest to you. But coming up next, we also have to look at the biggest injury right now in the world of sports here. The knee of Giannis Antetokounmpo, what we've heard at the latest on his health and the resulting take that could come if he is not on the court for their next game here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Chenea and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.